coming up on 9 minutes past the hour, let's get to our guest, Anna Hahn, equity strategist at Wells Fargo Securities. A very simple question here, Anna. Is the Fed over-tightening?
Oof, you start with the hard questions. All right. Are they over-tightening? I think the Fed has been communicating that they're following the data. The question is the data lagging? When you have a lagging indicator, that's really where you get in that danger of, are they going to get ahead of the curve here? But they have signaled that they are turning a little more dovish, and consensus expects a lower rate hike this December. I think that is actually pretty sensitive and in tune with the data we've been seeing.
Okay, I think what we have at the moment is Brian just asking, you know, are the dangers of a policy mistake looming larger?
I would say there's always been that mistake. Has it become larger? In fact, I think sentiment has actually improved and expected that perhaps that risk has reduced. You're seeing less and less people talking about hard landing and the probability or the hope for a soft landing increasing. I think the fact that you've seen in the last CPI print, as well as some of the most recent data with inflation coming down, that the fact that their hiking has taken impact, that's what's giving us hope. And the fact that they're willing to slow it down, that's also giving hope that perhaps the Fed won't get too ahead and that we can manage that soft landing.
I think what you said about the timing is very important, that we haven't had enough time yet to really feel the full brunt of these rate hikes that have come through. That said, the markets have been looking beyond, and you would think that Jay Powell will come out more hawkish tomorrow than he might have otherwise, given the rise in stocks and bonds and what that means for conditions in the financial markets.
Oh, you bring up a great point. When you have good news, and sometimes it could be bad news, does it fuel the Fed? Do they give them more ability to get hawkish without perhaps crashing the markets? But what we keep in mind as well is even with that backward-looking data they have, I think the focus is going to be in what trends we're seeing with economic data. I think the ISM manufacturing and the personal incomes data we're going to see on Thursday is going to be a good indicator of what direction we're going.
And what do you think is going to, what sort of picture is it actually going to paint for you?
Well, right now, what we're concerned about is how the consumer is doing. We're seeing on the manufacturing side that some of the prices paid components are suggesting a little bit of deflationary pressures. But on the same time, consumers continue to spend. Now, they're using their excess disposable income. They're using increased credit card debt. But can that sustain into next year is what's going to control earnings.
Let's just have a look at where you actually now invest. Given what we talked about in terms of the broader macro picture, what kind of companies are doing well in this type of environment and what you're likely to do in the one that you're predicting?
I think right now what we're focused on is momentum. And momentum is simple. You look at what companies have been working. That's never a promise for the future. But the reason why we're liking these good performance, which right now has been energy and particular parts of healthcare, specifically biotech, is that they are, in a way, have a ability to have a little more secular growth. Now, of course, energy markets impacted by inflation and how this pans out, but particularly the lack of Uber caps in the leadership, that's looking attractive to us right now. So that's sort of where we're keeping our eyes.
What do you make of Dave Costin's view that companies' margins are likely to start coming down next year as expenses normalize?
I'd actually say margins already are coming down. You saw with this last quarter earnings, and this is something we've been saying and expecting for several quarters to see it realize after this past earnings season, something we expected, but of course, something we're continuing to be weary about. But that margin is exactly why on a bigger picture scale, we're looking for where we can find secular growers, companies that can manage their operational costs, that can continue to manage those inflation prices and still grow their earnings. In particular for 2023, when we're expecting and most of the street is expecting an overall pretty flat EPS growth.
Okay, so this is going to be the next question. I think in your notes you're talking about an equity market leadership. Also look at how that perhaps may well change if we look at a change in sentiment towards a greenback, which seems to be at a pivotal point.
Yeah, I think really it's a macro story still. And you're seeing that not just over the past year, but also think about today. With yields higher, you're seeing the value sectors outperform. You're seeing growth take a little bit on the chin. But over the month, with that decline in inflation expectation, especially after we got a more friendly, I would say, October CPI print, you saw nominal yields come down. And these tech and more growthy industries, especially semis and software, you saw those have a bounce this month. So you're still seeing the macro narrative pulling the strings on the puppets here. I think next year, depending on when the Fed really decides to fully pivot and go into cutting mode, that's going to help determine when we might get that resurgence in growth and growth industries for a longer run. But that's really a back half story of next year.
Another good input could be if China starts to reopen. We've had a lot of doubts about that. I think investors have had some doubts, but a huge rally yesterday. And it seems like the overall strategy is easing a little bit here. If more on the ground actions rather than in name, the National Health Commission said excessive curbs should be avoided. Are you optimistic that that is a positive story for markets that's happening in China?
We do think that would be positive, but we are cautious because China's economy hasn't particularly gathered this economic momentum post-pandemic that you saw in the U.S. They had a lot of stop and start fits. So that's something that we are cautious about. And that volatility exposure is why we're not particularly pouring our funds into Chinese equities directly. Rather, what we have looked at is within the U.S. companies, particularly the large cap companies domestically, which have the particular higher sales to China. There are a good number of S&P companies, S&P 500 companies, that have over 10% revenue exposure to China. That could be a good place to start for those who truly believe that this is a turning point and that reopening is a certainty. But that's, again, something that is a bit more of a higher risk investment, so something that would have to fit your risk appetite.
Anna, thank you so much for joining us. That's Anna Han there joining us, equity strategist at Wells Fargo Securities, getting her take on the market action.